A Clockwork Orange, Disc 2.
Three. We yecketed back townwards, my brothers, but just outside, not far from what they call the Industrial Canal, we vidded the fuel needle had like collapsed, like our own ha-ha-ha needles had, and the auto was coughing. Not to worry over much, though, because a rail station kept flashing blue, on off, just near. The point was whether to leave the auto to be sobiratted by the Rosses, or us feeling like in a hate and murder mood, to give it a fair toll chock into the starry waters for a nice, heavy, loud plesk before the death of the evening. This latter we decided on. So we got out, and the brakes off, all four toll chocked it to the edge of the filthy water that was like treacle mixed with human hull products. Then one good horror show toll shock and in she went. We had to dash back for fear of the filth splashing on our platties, but splush and glulp she went, down and lovely. "Farewell, old droog," called Georgie, and Dim obliged with a clowny great guff. Then we made for the station to ride the one stop to centre, as the middle of the town was called. We paid our fares nice and polite and waited gentlemanly and quiet on the platform, old Dim fillying with the slot machines, his carmans being full of small Malenki coin and ready, if need be, to distribute chalk bars to the poor and starving, though there was none such about. And then the old Espresso Rapido came lumbering in and we climbed aboard, the train looking to be near empty. To pass the 3-minute ride, we fillied about with what they called the upholstery, doing some nice horror show tearing out of the seat's guts, and old Dim chaining the Ocno till the glass cracked and sparkled in the winter air. But we were all feeling that bit shagged and fagged and fashed, it having been an evening of some small energy expenditure, my brothers, only Dim, like the clowny animal he was, full of the joys of, but looking all dirtied over and too much von of sweat on him, which was one thing I had against old Dim. We got out at centre and walked slow back to the Corova milk bar, all going, a Malenki bit, and exhibiting to moon and star and lamplight our back fillings, because we were still only growing malchicks and had school in the daytime. And when we got into Corova, we found it fuller than when we'd left earlier on. But the Chelovic that had been burbling away in the land on white and synth mesk or whatever was still on at it, going, "Urchins of dead cast in the way, ho, hey, glil platonic time weatherborn." It was probable that this was his third or fourth lot that evening, for he had that pale, inhuman look, like he'd become a thing, and like his litzo was really a piece of chalk carved. Really, if he wanted to spend so long in the land, he should have gone into one of the private cubies at the back, and not stayed in a big mess, though, because here some of the malchickies would filly about with him a Malenki bit, though not too much, because they were powerful bruise boys hidden away in the old Corova who could stop any riot. Anyway, Dim squeezed in next to this feck, and with his big clown's yawp that showed his hanging grape, he stabbed this veck's foot with his own large filthy sabog. But the veck, my brothers, heard naught, being now all above the body. It was nadsats mostly, milking and coking and fillying around. Nadsats were what we used to call the teens, but there were a few of the more starry ones, vecks and chinas alike, but not of the bourgeois, never them, laughing and govereating at the bar. You could tell from their barberings and loose platties, big stringy sweaters mostly, that they'd been on rehearsal at the TV studios round the corner. The Dvotchkas among them had these very lively litzos and big wide rots, very red, showing a lot of teeth and smacking away and not caring about the wicked world one whit. And then the disc on the stereo twanged off, and out it was Johnny Zivago, a rusky Koshka, singing Only Every Other Day. And in the like interval, the short silence before the next one came on, one of these dvotchkas, very fair and with a big smiling red rot and in her late 30s, I'd say, suddenly came with a burst of singing, only a bar and a half, and as though she was like giving an example of something they'd all been gover-eating about. And it was like for a moment, oh my brothers, some great bird had flown into the milk bar. And I felt all the little Malenki hairs on my plot standing endwise, and the shivers crawling up like slow Malenki lizards and then down again, because I knew what she sang. It was from an opera by Friedrich Gitterfenster called Das Bettzeug, and it was the bit where she's snuffing it with her throat cut, and the Slovos are better like this, maybe. Anyway, I shivered. But old Dim, as soon as he'd slooshied this dollop of song like a lomtick of red-hot meat plonked on your plate, let off one of his vulgarities, which in this case was a lip trump followed by a dog howl, followed by two fingers pronging twice in the air, followed by a clowny guffaw. I felt myself all of a fever and like drowning in red-hot blood, slooshing and vidying Dim's vulgarity, and I said, "Bastard! Filthy, drooling, mannerless bastard." Then I leaned across Georgie, who was between me and horrible Dim, and fisted Dim's scorry on the rot. Dim looked very surprised, his rot open, wiping the crovy off his goober with his rook, and in turn looking surprised at the red flowing crovy and at me. "What for did you do that for?" he said in his ignorant way. Not many vidded what I'd done, and those that vidded cared not. The stereo was on again and was playing very sick electronic guitar vesh. I said, "For being a bastard with no manners and not the duke of an idea how to comport yourself public-wise, oh my brother." Dim put on the hound and horny look of evil, saying, "I don't like you should do what you done then, and I'm not your brother no more and wouldn't want to be." He'd taken a big snotty tashtook from his pocket and was mopping the red flow, puzzled, keeping on looking at it, frowning, as if he thought that blood was for other vex and not for him. It was like he was singing blood to make up for his vulgarity when that dvotchka was singing music. But that dvotchka was smacking away, ha-ha-ha, now with her droogs at the bar, her red rot working and her zoobies ashine, not having noticed Dim's filthy vulgarity. It was me, really, Dim had done wrong to. I said, "If you don't like this, and you wouldn't want that, then you know what to do, little brother." Georgie said, in a sharp way that made me look, "All right, let's not be starting." "That's clean up to Dim," I said. "Dim can't go on all his jeezney being as a little child." And I looked sharp at Georgie. Dim said, and the red crovy was easing its flow now, "What natural right does he have to think he can give the orders and toll-chock me whenever he likes? Yarbles is what I say to him, and I'd chain his glasses out soon as look." "Watch that," I said, as quiet as I could, with the stereo bouncing all over the walls and ceiling, and the in-the-land vet beyond Dim getting loud now with his "Spark nearer, Ulptoptimate." I said, "Do watch that, O Dim, if to continue to be on live thou dost wish." "Yarbles," said Dim, sneering. "Great bolshy yar blockos to you. What you done then, you had no right. I'll meet you with chain or noz or britva any time, not having you aiming toll-chocks at me reasonless. It stands to reason, I won't have it." "And noz scrap any time you say," I snarled back. Pete said,
Oh, now, don't, both of you, Malchicks, droogs, aren't we? It isn't right droogs should behave this wise. See, there are some loose-lipped Malchicks over there smacking at us, leering like we mustn't let ourselves down.
Dim, I said, has got to learn his place, right?
Wait, said Georgie.
What's all this about place? This is the first I ever hear about loodies learning their place.
Pete said,
if the truth is known, Alex, you shouldn't have given old Dim that uncalled-for toll chop. I'll say it once and no more. I'll say it with all respect, but if it had been me you'd given it to, you'd have had to answer. I say no more.
And he downed his litso in his milk glass. I could feel myself getting all razdraz inside, but I tried to cover it, saying, calm, there has to be a leader. Discipline, there has to be, right?
None of them skazatted a word or nodded even. I got more razdraz inside, karma out.
I said, have been in charge long now. We are all droogs, but somebody has to be in charge, right? Right?
They all like nodded, wary like. Dim was oosooshing the last of the crovy off. It was Dim who said now,
right, right, dooby doo. A bit tired, maybe, everybody is. Best not to say more.
I was surprised. And just that malenky bit poogly to sluice Dim gover eating that wise.
Dim said, bedways is right ways now, so best we go home ways, right?
I was very surprised. The other two nodded, going, right, right, right. I said,
you understand about that Tolchok on the rot, Dim? It was the music, see? I get all bazoomny when any vec interferes with a batitsa singing, as it might be. Like that, then.
Best we go off homeways and get a bit of spatchka, said Dim. A long night for growing male chicks, right?
Right, right, nodded the other two. I said, I think it's best we go home now. Dim has made a real horror show suggestion. If we don't meet day-wise, oh, my brothers, well, then, same time, same place tomorrow.
Oh, yes, said Georgie. I think that can be arranged.
I might, said Dim, be just that malenky bit late, but same place and near same time tomorrow, surely.
He was still wiping away at his goober, though no crovy flowed any longer now.
And, he said, it's to be hoped there won't be no more of them singing petitsas in here.
Then he gave his old Dim guff, a big, clowny, big ho, 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 ho. It seemed like he was too Dim to take much offence. So off we went our several ways, me belching, on the cold coke I'd peated. I had my cutthroat Britva handy in case any of Billy Boy's droogs should be round near the flat block waiting, or for that matter any of the other banders or groupers or shakers that from time to time were at war with one. Where I lived was with my dadda and mum in the flats of Municipal Flat Block 18A between Kingsley Avenue and Wilson Way. I got to the big main door with no trouble, though I did pass one young Malchick sprawling and creaching and moaning in the gutter, all cut about lovely, and saw in the lamplight also streaks of blood here and there, like signatures, my brothers, of the night's fillying. And two, I saw just by 18A a pair of Dvotchka's nesnies, doubtless rudely wrenched off in the heat of the moment, oh my brothers. And so, in. In the hallway was the good old municipal painting on the walls. Vex and petitsas very well developed, stern in the dignity of labour, at workbench and machine, with not one stitch of platties on their well-developed plots. But of course, some of the Malchicks living in 18A had, as was to be expected, embellished and decorated the said big painting with handy pencil and ballpoint, adding hair and stiff rods and dirty ballooning slovos out of the dignified rots of these nadjoy, bear that is, chinas and vex. I went to the lift, but there was no need to press the electric knopka to see if it was working or not, because it had been toll-chocked real horror show this night, the metal doors all buckled, some feet of rare strength indeed, so I had to walk the 10 floors up.
I cursed and panted climbing, being tired in plot, if not so much in brain. I wanted music very bad this evening, that singing Dvotchka in the Korova having perhaps started me off. I wanted like a big feast of it before getting my passport stamped, my brothers, at sleep's frontier, and the stripy chest lifted to let me through. I opened the door of 10-8 with my own little klooch, and inside our Malenki quarters all was quiet, the P and M both being in sleepland, and Mum had laid out on the table my Malenki bit of supper, a couple of lomticks of tinned sponge meat with a shive or so of kleb and butter, a glass of the old cold Maloko. Ho, ho, ho. The old Maloko, with no knives or synthmesk or drencom in it. How wicked, my brothers, innocent milk must always seem to me now. Still, I drank and ate, growling, being more hungry than I thought at first, and I got fruit pie from the larder and tore chunks off it to stuff into my greedy rot. Then I tooth-cleaned and clicked, cleaning out the old rot with my yazzik or tongue. Then I went into my own little room or den, easing off my platties as I did so. Here was my bed and my stereo, pride of my jeezney, and my discs in their cupboard, and banners and flags on the wall, these being like remembrances of my corrective school life since I was 11, oh my brothers, each one shining and blazoned with name or number. South 4, Metro Korskal Blue Division, the boys of Alpha. The little speakers of my stereo were all arranged round the room, on ceilings, walls, floor, so, lying on my bed, slooshying the music, I was like netted and meshed in the orchestra. Now, what I fancied first tonight was this new violin concerto by the American Geoffrey Plautus, played by Odysseus Carrillos with the Mason Georgia Philharmonic, so I slid it from where it was neatly filed and switched on and waited. Then, brothers, it came. Oh, bliss, bliss and heaven. I lay all Najoy to the ceiling, my Gulliver on my rookers on the pillow, glazies closed, rot open in bliss, slooshing the sluice of lovely sounds. Oh, it was gorgeousness and gorgiosity made flesh. The trombones crunched red gold under my bed, and behind my Gulliver the trumpets three wise silver flamed, and there by the door the timps rolling through my guts and out again crunched like candy thunder. Oh, it was wonder of wonders. And then a bird of like rarest spun heaven metal, or like silvery wine flowing in a spaceship, gravity all nonsense now, came the violin solo above all the other strings, and those strings were like a cage of silk round my bed. Then flute and oboe bored like worms of like platinum into the thick, thick toffee gold and silver. I was in such bliss, my brothers. P and M, in their bedroom next door, had learnt now not to knock on the wall with complaints of what they called noise. I had taught them. Now they would take sleep pills. Perhaps, knowing the joy I had in my night music, they had already taken them. As I slooshied, my glazies tight shut to shut in the bliss that was better than any synth-mesk bog or god, I knew such lovely pictures. There were Vex and Petitzas, both young and starry, lying on the ground, screaming for mercy, and I was smacking all over my rot and grinding my boot in their litzos. And there were Dvotchkas, ripped and creaching against walls, and I plunging like a schlager into them, And indeed, when the music, which was one movement only, rose to the top of its big highest tower, then, lying there on my bed with glazies tight shut and rookers behind my Gulliver, I broke and spattered and cried, "Ah!" with the bliss of it. And so the lovely music glided to its glowing close. After that, I had lovely Mozart, the Jupiter, and there were new pictures of different Litzos to be ground and splashed, and it was after this that I thought I would have just one last disc only before crossing the border, and I wanted something starry and strong and very firm. So it was J.S. Bach I had, the Brandenburg Concerto, just for middle and lower strings, and sluicing with different bliss than before, I vidded again this name on the paper I'd ras-read that night, a long time ago, it seemed, in that cottage called Home. The name was about a clockwork orange. Listening to the J.S. Bach, I began to pony better what that meant now. And I thought, sluicing away to the brown gorgeousness of the starry German master, that I would like to have Tolchok them both harder, and rip them to ribbons on their own floor. 4. The next morning I woke up at 08:00 hours, my brothers, and as I still felt shagged and fagged and fashed and bashed and my glazes were stuck together real horror show with sleep glue, I thought I would not go to school. I thought how I would have a malenky bit longer in the bed, an hour or two, say, and then get dressed nice and easy, perhaps even having a splosh about in the bath, and then brew a pot of real strong horror show chai and make toast for myself and slushy the radio or read the Gazetta all on my oddy knocky. And then, in the after lunch, I might perhaps, if I still felt like it, itty off to the old scollywoll to see what was vereating in that great seat of gloopy, useless learning, oh my brothers. I heard my papapa grumbling and trampling and then ittying off to the dye-works where he rabbited, and then my mum called in a very respectful coloss, as she did now I was growing up big and strong, "It's gone 8, son. You don't want to be late again." So I called back, "A bit of pain in my Gulliver. Leave us be and I'll try to sleep it off and I'll be right as dodgers for this after." I sluiced her, give a sort of sigh, and she said, "I'll put your breakfast in the oven then, son. I've got to be off myself now." Which was true, there being this law for everybody not a child, nor with child, nor ill, to go out rabbiting. My mother worked at one of the state marts, as they called them, filling up the shelves with tinned soup and beans and all that cow. So I sluiced her clank a plate in the gas oven like, and then she was putting her shoes on and then getting her coat from behind the door and then sighing again. Then she said, "I'm off now, son." But I let on to be back in sleepland, and then I did doze off real horror show, and I had a queer and very real, like, sneety, dreaming for some reason of my droog Georgie. In this sneety, he'd got, like, very much older and very sharp and hard and was govereating about discipline and obedience and how all the Malchicks under his control had to jump hard at it and throw up the old salute like being in the army. And there was me in line like the rest saying yes sir and no sir. And then I vidded clear that Georgie had these stars on his plechos and he was like a general. And then he brought in old Dim with a whip, and Dim was a lot more starry and grey and had a few zoobies missing, as you could see when he let out a smeck, viddying me. And then my droog Georgie said, pointing like at me, "That man has filth and cow all over his platties." And it was true. Then I screeched, "Don't hit, please don't, brothers," and started to run. And I was running in like circles, and Dim was after me, smacking his Gulliver off, cracking with the old whip. And each time I got a real horror show toll chop with this whip, there was like a very loud electric bell ring, ring, ringing. And this bell was like a sort of pain too. Then I woke up real scorry, my heart going bat, bat, bat. And of course, there was really a bell going brrrr, and it was our front door bell. I let on that nobody was at home, but this brrrr still itted on. And then I heard a galosh shouting through the door. "Come on then, get out of it. I know you're in bed." I recognised the galosh right away. It was the galosh of PR Deltoid. A real gloopy naz, that one. What they called my post-corrective advisor, an overworked vec with hundreds on his books. I shouted, "Right, right, right," in a galosh of like pain, and I got out of bed and attired myself, oh my brothers, in a very lovely overgown of like silk with designs of like great cities all over this overgown. Then I put my nogas into very comfy woolly tufles, combed my luscious glory, and was ready for PR Deltoid. When I opened up, he came shambling in looking shagged, a battered old schlapper on his Gulliver, his raincoat filthy. "Ah, Alex boy," he said to me, "I met your mother, yes. She said something about a pain somewhere, hence not at school, yes?" "A rather intolerable pain in the head, brother sir," I said in my gentleman's galosh. "I think it should clear by this afternoon."
"Or certainly by this evening, yes," said PR Deltoid. "The evening is the great time, isn't it, Alex boy?" "Sit," he said, "sit, sit," as though this was his domey and me his guest, and he sat in this starry rocking chair of my dad's and began rocking as if that was all he'd come for. I said, "A cup of the old chai, sir, tea, I mean." "No time," he said, and he rocked, giving me the old glint under frowning brows, as if with all the time in the world. "No time, yes," he said, gloopy. So I put the kettle on. Then I said, "To what do I owe the extreme pleasure? Is anything wrong, sir?" "Wrong," he said, very scorry and sly, sort of hunched, looking at me, but still rocking away. Then he caught sight of an advert in the Gazetta, which was on the table, a lovely smecking young petitza with her grudies hanging out to advertise my brother's The Glory of the Yugoslav Beaches. Then, after sort of eating her up in two swallows, he said, "Why should you think in terms of there being anything wrong? Have you been doing something you shouldn't, yes?" "Just a manner of speech," I said, "sir." "Well," said PR Deltoid, "it's just a manner of speech from me to you that you watch out, little Alex, because next time, as you very well know, it's not going to be the corrective school anymore. Next time, it's going to be the Barry place and all my work ruined. If you have no consideration for your horrible self, you at least might have some for me, who have sweated over you. A big black mark, I tell you in confidence, for everyone we don't reclaim. A confession of failure for every one of you that ends up in the stripy hole." "I've been doing nothing I shouldn't, sir," I said. "The Millicents have nothing on me, brother. Sir, I mean." "Cut out this clever talk about Millicents," said PR Deltoid, very weary, but still rocking. "Just because the police have not picked you up lately doesn't, as you very well know, mean you've not been up to some nastiness. There was a bit of a fight last night, wasn't there?
There was a bit of shuffling with nozzies and bike chains and the like. One of a certain fat boy's friends was ambulanced off late from near the power plant and hospitalised, cut about very unpleasantly, yes. Your name was mentioned. The word has got through to me by the usual channels. Certain friends of yours were named also. There seems to have been a fair amount of assorted nastiness last night. Oh, nobody can prove anything about anybody as usual, but I'm warning you, little Alex, being a good friend to you as always, the one man in this sore and sick community who wants to save you from yourself.
I appreciate all that, sir, I said, very sincerely.
Yes, you do, don't you? He sort of sneered. Just watch it, that's all, yeah? We know more than you think, little Alex.
Then he said, in a galos of great suffering, but still rocking away,
what gets into you all? We study the problem, and we've been studying it for damn well near a century, yes, but we get no farther with our studies. You've got a good home here, good loving parents. You've got not too bad of a brain. Is it some devil that crawls inside you?
Nobody's got anything on me, sir, I said. I've been out of the Rookers of the Millicents for a long time now.
That's just what worries me, sighed P.R. Deltoid. A bit too long of a time to be healthy. You're about due now, by my reckoning, and that's why I'm warning you, little Alex, to keep your handsome young proboscis out of the dirt, yes? Do I make myself clear?
As an unmuddied lake, sir, I said, clear as an azure sky of deepest summer. You can rely on me, sir. And I gave him a nice, zooby smile.
But when he'd ockadeated and I was making this very strong pot of chai, I grinned to myself over this vesh that P.R. Deltoid and his droogs worried about. All right, I do bad. What with crasting and tolchocks and calves with the Britva and the old in-out, in-out. And if I get loveted, well, too bad for me, oh, my little brothers. And you can't run a country with every chel of it comporting himself in my manner of the night. So if I get loveted and it's 3 months in this mesto and another 6 in that, and then, as P.R. Deltoid so kindly warns, next time, in spite of the great tenderness of my Summers brothers, it's the great unearthly zoo itself, well, I say, fair but a pity, my lords, because I just cannot bear to be shut in. My endeavour shall be, in such future as stretches out its snowy and lily-white arms to me before the noz overtakes or the blood spatters its final chorus in twisted metal and smashed glass on the high road, to not get loveted again. Which is fair speeching, but brothers, this biting of their toenails over what is the cause of badness is what turns me into a fine laughing malchick. They don't go into what is the cause of goodness. So why of the other shop? If ludies are good, that's because they like it, and I wouldn't ever interfere with their pleasures. And so, of the other shop, and I was patronising the other shop. More, badness is of the self, the one, the you or me on our oddy knockies, and that self is made by old Bog or God and is his great pride and radesty. But the not self cannot have the bad, meaning they of the government and the judges and the schools cannot allow the bad because they cannot allow the self. And is not our modern history, my brothers, the story of brave, malenki selves fighting these big machines? I am serious with you, brothers, over this.
But what I do because I like to do.
So, this smiling winter morning, I drink this very strong chai with Maloko and spoon after spoon after spoon of sugar, me having a sladky tooth, and I dragged out of the oven the breakfast my poor old mum had cooked for me. It was an egg, fried. That and no more. But I made toast and ate egg and toast and jam, smacking away at it while I read the Gazetta. The Gazetta was the usual about ultraviolence and bank robberies and strikes and footballers making everybody paralytic with fright by threatening to not play next Saturday if they did not get higher wages, naughty Mal Chicky Wicks as they were. Also, there were more space trips and bigger stereo TV screens and offers of free packets of soap flakes in exchange for the labels on soup tins, amazing offer for 1 week only, which made me smack. And there was a bolshy big article on modern youth, meaning me. So I gave the old bow, grinning like Bazoomney, by some very clever bald Chelovic. I read this with care, my brothers, slurping away at the old chai, cup after tass after chassa, crunching my lomticks of black toast dipped in jammy wham and eggy wegg. This learned vec said the usual veshes about no parental discipline, as he called it, and the shortage of real horror show teachers who would lambast bloody beggary out of their innocent poops and make them go boo-hoo-hoo for mercy. All this was gloopy and made me smack, but it was nice to go on knowing one was making the news all the time, oh my brothers. Every day there was something about modern youth. But the best vesh they ever had in the old Gazetta was by some starry pop in a doggy collar who said that in his considered opinion, and he was govereating as a man of bog, it was the devil that was abroad and was like ferreting his way into like young, innocent flesh. And it was the adult world that could take the responsibility for this with their wars and bombs and nonsense. So that was all right. So he knew what he talked of, being a god man. So we, young, innocent Malchicks, could take no blame. Right. 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 When I'd gone irk, irk, a couple of razzes on my full, innocent stomach, I started to get out day platties from my wardrobe, turning the radio on. There was music playing, a very nice Malenki string quartet, my brothers, by Claudius Birdman, one that I knew well. I had to have a smack, though, thinking of what I'd vidded once in one of these light articles on modern youth about how modern youth would be better off if a lively appreciation of the arts could be encouraged. Great music, it said, and great poetry would like quieten modern youth down and make modern youth more civilised. Civilised, my civilised yarbles. Music always sort of sharpened me up, oh my brothers, and made me feel like old Bog himself, ready to make with the old Donner and Blitzen and have Vex and Petitzas creeching away in my ha-ha power. And when I'd cheested up my litzo and rookers a bit and done dressing, my day platties were like student wear, the old blue pantaloonies with sweater with an A for Alex. I thought here at least was time to itty off to the disc boutique and cutter too, my pockets being full of Pretty Polly, to see about this long-promised and long-ordered stereo Beethoven No. 9, the choral symphony, that is, recorded on masterstroke by the Esch-Sham Symphonia under El Muhawir. So out I went, brothers. The day was very different from the night. The night belonged to me and my droogs and all the rest of the nadsats, and the starry bourgeois lurked indoors drinking in the gloopy worldcasts. But the day was for the starry ones. And there always seemed to be more Rosses or Millicents about during the day too. I got the auto bus from the corner and rode to centre, and then I walked back to Taylor Place, and there was the disc boutique I favoured with my inestimable custom, oh my brothers. It had the gloopy name of Melodia, but it was a real horror show mesto and scurry most times at getting the new recordings.
I walked in, and the only other customers were two young petitsas sucking away at ice sticks, and this, Mark, was dead cold winter, and sort of shuffling through the new pop discs, Johnny Burnaway, Stash Crow, The Mixers, Lay Quiet a While with Ed and I'd Molotov, and all the rest of that cow. These two petitsas couldn't have been more than 10, and they too, like me it seemed, evidently, had decided to take a morning off from the old scollywoll. They saw themselves, you could see, as real grown-up dvotchkas already, what with the old hip swing when they saw your faithful narrator brothers, and padded grudies and red all ploshed on their goobers. I went up to the counter, making with the polite Zuby smile at old Andy behind it, always polite himself, always helpful, a real horror show type of a vet, though bald and very, very thin. He said, "Aha! I know what you want, I think. Good news, it has arrived." And with, like, big conductor's rookers beating time, he went to get it. The two young petitsas started giggling, as they will at that age, and I gave them a, like, cold glazzy. Andy was back real scorry, waving the great shiny white sleeve of the ninth, which had on it, brothers, the frowning, beetled, like thunder-bottled litso of Ludwig van himself. "Here," said Andy, "shall we give it the trial spin?" But I wanted it back home on my stereo to slushy on my oddie nocky, greedy as hell. I fumbled out the deng to pay, and one of the little petitsas said, "Who you getting, Bratty? What biggie? What only?" These young devotchers had their own, like, way of gabberiting. "The Heaven 17, Luke Stern, Golly Goggle." And both giggled, rocking and hippy. Then an idea hit me and made me near fall over with the anguish and ecstasy of it, oh my brothers, so I could not breathe for near 10 seconds. I recovered and made with my new clean Zubies and said, "What you got back home, little sisters, to play your fuzzy warbles on?" Because I could vidy the discs they were buying were these teeny pop veshes. "I bet you got little save tiny portable like picnic spinners." And they sort of pushed their lower lips out at that. "Come with Uncle," I said, "and hear all proper. Hear angel trumpets and devil trombones. You are invited." And I, like, bowed. They giggled again, and one said, "Oh, but we're so hungry. Oh, but we could so eat." The other said, "Yeah, she can say that, can't she just?" So I said, "Eat with Uncle. Name your place." Then they vidded themselves as real sophistos, which was, like, pathetic, and started talking in big lady glosses about the Ritz and the Bristol and the Hilton and Il Ristorante Gran Turco. But I stopped that with "follow Uncle," and I led them to the pasta parlour just around the corner and let them fill their innocent young litzos on spaghetti and sausages and cream puffs and banana split and hot choc sauce till I near sicked with the sight of it. I, brothers, lunching but frugally off a cold ham slice and a growling dollop of chilli. These two young petitsas were much alike, though not sisters. They had the same ideas, or lack of, and the same colour hair, alike dyed strawy. Well, they would grow up real today. Today, I would make a day of it. No school this after lunch. But education certain, Alex as teacher. Their names, they said, were Marty and Sonietta, presumably enough, and in the height of their childish fashion, so I said, "Righty right, Marty and Sonietta, time for the big spin. Come." When we were outside on the cold street, they thought they would not go by auto bus, oh no, but by taxi. So I gave them the humour, though with a real horror show in grin, and I called a taxi from the rank near centre. The driver, a starry, whiskery vec in very stained platties, said, "No tearing up now, no nonsense with them seats, just re-upholstered they are." I quieted his gloopy fears, and off we spun to Municipal Flat Block 18A.
these two bold little petitzers giggling and whispering. So, to cut all short, we arrived, oh my brothers, and I led the way up to 10-8, and they panted and smecked away the way up, and then they were thirsty, they said, so I unlocked the treasure chest in my room and gave these 10-year young Dvochkas a real horror show Scotchman apiece, though well filled with sneezy pins and needles soda. They sat on my bed, yet unmade, and leg swung, smecking and peating their highballs while I spun their like pathetic Malenki discs through my stereo, like peating some sweet scented kid's drink that was in like very beautiful and lovely and costly gold goblets. But they went, oh, 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 and said, swoony and hilly and other weird slovos that were the height of fashion in that youth group, while I spun this cow for them, I encouraged them to drink and have another, and they were nothing loath, oh my brothers. So by the time their pathetic pop discs had been twice spun each, there were two, Honey Nose, sung by Ike Yard, and Night After Day After Night, moaned by two horrible yarbleless-like eunuchs whose names I forget. They were getting near the pitch of like young Petitza's hysterics, what with jumping all over my bed and me in the room with them. What was actually done that afternoon, there is no need to describe, brothers, as you may easily guess all. Those two were unplattied and smecking fit to crack in no time at all, and they thought it the bolshiest fun to viddy old Uncle Alex standing there, all nadjoy and panhandled, squirting the hypodermic like some bear doctor, then giving myself the old jab of growling jungle cat secretion in the rooker. Then I pulled the lovely ninth out of its sleeve so that Ludwig van was now nadjoy too, and I set the needle hissing onto the last movement, which was all bliss. There it was then, the bass strings like gover-eating away from under my bed at the rest of the orchestra, and then the male human golos coming in and telling them all to be joyful, and then the lovely blissful tune all about joy being a glorious spark like of heaven, and then I felt the old tigers leap in me, and then I leapt on these two young petitzers. This time they thought nothing fun and stopped creeching with high mirth and had to submit to the strange and weird desires of Alexander the Large, which, what with the ninth and the hypo jab, were chew destiny and zamachat and very demanding, oh my brothers. But they were both very, very drunken and could hardly feel very much. When the last movement had gone round for the second time with all the banging and creeching about joy, 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 then these two young petitzers were not acting the big lady sophisto no more. They were like waking up to what was being done to their Malenki persons and saying that they wanted to go home and like I was a wild beast. They looked like they'd been in some big bitfa, as indeed they had, and were all bruised and pouty. Well, if they would not go to school, they must still have their education, and education they had had. They were creeching and going ow, ow, ow as they put their platties on, and they were like punchy punching me with their teeny fists as I lay there dirty and nadjoy and fair shagged and fagged on the bed. This young Sonietta was creeching, beast and hateful animal, filthy horror. So I let them get their things together and get out, which they did, talking about how the Rozzers should be got on to me and all that cow. Then they were going down the stairs and I dropped off to sleep, still with the old joy, 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 crashing and howling away. 5. What happened, though, was that I woke up late, near 7:30 by my watch, and, as it turned out, that was not so clever.
You can vidi that everything in this wicked world counts. You can pony that one thing always leads to another. Right? 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 My stereo was no longer on about joy, and I embrace ye, O ye millions, so some vet had dealt it the off, and that would either be P or M, both of them now being quite clear to the slooshing in the living room, and from the clink-clink of plates and slurp-slurp of peating tea from cups at their tired meal after the day's rabbiting in factory the one, store the other. The poor old, the pitiable Starry. I put on my overgown and looked out in guise of loving only son to say, "Hi, hi, hi there. A lot better after the day's rest. Ready now for evening work to earn that little bit." For that's what they said they believed I did these days. "Yum, yum, mum. Any of that for me?" It was like some frozen pie that she'd unfroze, then warmed up, and it looked not so very appetitish. But I had to say what I said. Dad looked at me with a not-so-pleased, suspicious-like look, but said nothing, knowing he dared not, and Mum gave me a tired-like little smack to the fruit of my womb, my only son, sort of. I danced to the bathroom and had a real scorry-cheest all over, feeling dirty and gluey, then back to my den for the evening's platties. Then, shining, combed, brushed and gorgeous, I sat to my lomtick of pie. Papapa said,
"Not that I want to pry, son, but where exactly is it you go to work of evenings?"
"Oh," I chewed, "it's mostly odd things, helping, like, here and there, as it might be." I gave him a straight, dirty glazzy, as if to say, mind his own and I'd mind mine. "I never ask for money, do I? Not money for clothes or for pleasures. All right then, why ask?" My dad was like humble, mumble, chumble.
"Sorry, son," he said, "but I get worried sometimes. Sometimes I have dreams. You can laugh if you like, but there's a lot in dreams. Last night I had this dream with you in it, and I didn't like it one bit."
"Oh?" He had gotten me interested now, dreaming of me like that. I had like a feeling I had had a dream too, but I could not remember proper what. "Yes," I said, stopping chewing my gluey pie.
"It was vivid," said my dad. "I saw you lying on the street, and you had been beaten by other boys. These boys were like the boys you used to go around with before you were sent to that last corrective school."
"Oh," I had an ingrin at that. Papapa believing I had real reformed, or believing he believed, and then I remembered my own dream, which was a dream of that morning of Georgie giving his general's orders and old Dim smacking around toothless as he wielded the whip. But dreams go by opposites, I was once told. "Never worry about thine only son and heir, O my father," I said. "Fear not, he canst taketh care of himself, verily."
"And," said my dad, "you were like helpless in your own blood, and you couldn't fight back."
That was real opposite, so I had another quiet Malenki grin within, and then I took all the deng out of my carmans and tinkled it on the saucy tablecloth. I said, "Here, Dad, it's not much. It's what I earned last night. But perhaps for the odd peat of Scotchman in the snug somewhere for you and Mum?"
"Thanks, son," he said, "but we don't go out much now. We daren't go out much, the streets being what they are, young hooligans and so on. Still, thanks. I'll bring her home a bottle of something tomorrow." And he scooped this ill-gotten pretty into his trouser carmans, Mum being at the cheesting of the dishes in the kitchen, and I went out with loving smiles all round. When I got to the bottom of the stairs of the flat block, I was somewhat surprised. I was more than that. I opened my rot like wide in the old stony gapes. They had come to meet me. They were waiting by the all-scrawled-over municipal wall painting of the Najoy Dignity of Labour,
Bear Vex and Sheena's stern at the wheels of industry, like I said, with all this dirt pencilled from their rots by naughty Malchicks, Dim had a big, thick, light stick of black grease paint and was tracing filthy slovos real big over our municipal painting and doing the old Dim guff while he did it. But he turned round when Georgie and Pete gave me the well hello, showing their shiny droogy zoobies, and he horned out, "He are here, he have arrived, hooray," and did a clumsy turny-toe bit of dancing. "We got worried," said Georgie. "There we were, awaiting and peeting away at the old knifey maloco, and you had not turned up, so then Pete here thought how you might have been, like, offended by some vesh or other, and so round we come to your abode. That's right, Pete, right?" "Oh, yeah, right," said Pete. "Appy Polly Lodgies," I said, careful. I had something of a pain in the Gulliver, so had to sleep. I was not wakened when I gave orders for wakening. Still, here we all are, ready for what the old Notchy offers. Yes. I seem to have picked up that yes from PR Deltoid, my post-corrective advisor. Very strange. "Sorry about the pain," said Georgie, like very concerned. "Using the Gulliver too much, like maybe. Giving orders and discipline and such, perhaps. Sure the pain is gone? Sure you'll not be happier going back to the bed?" And they all had a bit of a malenky grin. "Wait," I said, "let's get things nice and sparkling clear. This sarcasm, if I may call it such, does not become you, oh my little friend. Perhaps you've been having a bit of a quiet govereat behind my back, making your own little jokes and such like. As I am your droog and leader, surely I am entitled to know what goes on, eh? Now then, Dim, what does that great big horsey gape of a grin portend?" For Dim had his rot open in a sort of bazoomy, soundless smeck. Georgie got in very scorry with, "All right, no more picking on Dim, brother. That's part of the new way." "New way," I said. "What's this about a new way? There's been some very large talk behind my sleeping back and no error. Let me slooshy more." And I sort of folded my rookers and leaned comfortable to listen against the broken banister rail, me being still higher than them, droogs as they called themselves, on the third stair. "No offence, Alex," said Pete, "but we wanted to have things more democratic-like, not like you like saying what to do and what not all the time, but no offence," Georgie said. "Offence is neither here nor elsewhere. It's a matter of who has ideas. What ideas has he had?" And he kept his very bold glazies turned full on me. "It's all the small stuff, malenki veshes like last night. We're growing up, brothers." "More," I said, not moving. "Let me slooshy more." "Well," said Georgie, "if you must have it then. We itty round, shot-crasting and the like, coming out with a pitiful rookerful of cutter each, and there's Will the English in the Musclemen Coffee Mesto saying he can fence anything that any Malchick cares to try to crast. The shiny stuff, the ice," he said, still with these, like, cold glazies on me. "The big, big, big money is available, is what Will the English says." "So," I said, very comfortable out, but real razdraz within, "since when have you been consorting and comporting with Will the English?" "Now and again," said George. "I get around, all on my oddy knocky, like last Sabbath, for instance. I can live my own jeezney, droogie, right?" I didn't really care for any of this, my brothers. "And what will you do," I said, "with the big, big, big deng, or money, as you so highfalutin call it? Have you not every vesh you need? If you need an auto, you pluck it from the trees. If you need Pretty Polly, you take it, yes? Why this sudden shillani for being the big, bloated capitalist?" "Ah,
said Georgie. You think and govery sometimes like a little child. Dim went huh at that. Tonight, said Georgie, we pull a man-size crast.
So my dream had told truth then. Georgie the general saying what we should do and what not do. Dim with the whip as mindless grinning bulldog. But I played with care, with great care, the greatest, saying, smiling, good, real horror show. Initiative comes to them as weight. I have taught you much, little droogie. Now, tell me what you have in mind, Georgie boy.
Oh, said Georgie, cunning and crafty in his grin. The old Maloko Plus first, wouldn't you say? Something to sharpen us up, boy, but you especially, we having the start of you.
You have govereted my thoughts for me, I smiled away. I was about to suggest the dear old Corova. Good, good, good. Lead, little Georgie.
And I made, with a like deep bow, smiling like Bazoomney, but thinking all the time. But when we got into the street, I vidded that thinking is for the gloopy ones and that the oomny ones use like inspiration and what bog sends. For now, it was lovely music that came to my aid. There was an auto itting by and it had its radio on and I could just slushy a bar or two of Ludwig van. It was the violin concerto, last movement. And I vidded right at once what to do. I said, in like a thick, deep gloss,
right, Georgie, now.
And I wished out my cutthroat Britva. Georgie said, but he was scorry enough with his nose, the blade coming sloosh out of the handle, and we were on to each other. Old Dim said,
oh, no, not right, that isn't,
and made to uncoil the chain round his tally, but Pete said, putting his rooker firm on old Dim. Leave him, it's right like that. So then Georgie and your humble did the old quiet cat stalk, looking for openings, knowing each other's style, a bit too horror show really. Georgie now and then going lurch, lurch with his shining nose, but not nowise connecting, and all the time Ludies passed by and vidded all this, but minded their own, it being perhaps a common street sight. But then I counted Odin Dvar Tree and went at, with the Britva, though not at Litzo or Glazzy's, but at Georgie's nos-holding rooker, and my little brothers, he dropped. He did, he dropped his nos with a tinkle-tankle on the hard winter sidewalk. I had just tickle-wickled his fingers with my Britva, and there he was looking at the malenki dribble of Crovy that was redding out in the lamplight. Now, I said. And it was me that was starting, because Pete had given old Dim, the Soviet, not to uncoil the Uzi from round his tally, and Dim had taken it. Now, Dim, let's thou and me have all this now, shall us? Dim went, like some bolshy bazoomny animal, and snaked out the chain from his waist, real horror show and scurry, so you had to admire. Now, the right style for me here was to keep low, like in frog dancing, to protect Litzo and Glazzy's. And this I did, brothers, so that poor old Dim was a malenky bit surprised, him being accustomed to the straight face-on lash-lash-lash. Now, I will say that he wished me horrible on the back, so it stung like Bazoomney, but that pain told me to dig in scorry once and for all and be done with old Dim. So I swished with the Britva at his left noga in its very tight, and I slashed 2 inches of cloth and drew a malenki drop of Crovy to make Dim real Bazoomney. Then, while he went, like a doggy, I tried the same style as for Georgie, banking all on one move, up, cross, cut, and I felt the Britva go just deep enough in the meat of old Dim's wrist, and he dropped his snaking Uzi, yelping like a little child. Then he tried to drink in all the blood from his wrist and howl at the same time, and there was too much Crovy to drink, and he went bubble, 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 the red light fountaining out lovely, but not for very long. I said, right, my droogies,
Now we should know. Yes, Pete?
I never said anything, said Pete. I never got very to one slovo. Look, old Dim's bleeding to death.
Never, I said. One can die but once. Dim died before he was born. That red, red crovy will soon stop.
Because I had not cut into the, like, main cables, and I myself took a clean tashtook from my carmen to wrap round poor old dying Dim's rooker, howling and moaning as he was, and the crovy stopped, like I said it would, oh my brothers. So, they knew now who was master and leader. Sheep, thought I. It did not take long to quieten these two wounded soldiers down in the snug of the Duke of New York, what with large brandies, bought with their own cutter, me having given all to my dad, and a wipe with tashtooks dipped in the water jug. The old petitzers we'd been so horror show to last night were there again, going, "Thanks, lads, and God bless you, boys," like they couldn't stop, though we had not repeated the old Sammy act with them. But Pete said, "What's it to be, girls?" and bought blackened suds for them, him seeming to have a fair amount of Pretty Polly in his carmen, so they were on louder than ever with their "God bless and keep you all, lads, and we'd never split on you, boys, and the best lads breathing, that's what you are." At last I said to Georgie, "Now we're back to where we were, yes? Just like before, and all forgotten, right?" "Right, right, right," said Georgie, but old Dim still looked a bit dazed, and he even said, "I could have caught that big bastard sea with my Uzi, only some vet got in the way," as though he'd been dratsing not with me, but with some other malchick. I said, "Well, Georgie boy, what did you have in mind?" "Oh," said Georgie, "not tonight, not this notchy, please." "You're a big strong chalavec," I said, "like us all. We're not little children, are we, Georgie boy? What then didst thou in thy mind have?"
"I could have chained his glazies real horror show," said Dim, and the old babushkas were still on with their
"Thanks, lads."
"It was this house, see," said Georgie, "the one with the two lamps outside, the one with the gloopy name, like."
"What gloopy name?"
"The mansion or the manse or some such piece of gloop, where this very starry petitza lives with her cats and all these very starry valuable veshes."
"Such as?"
"Gold and silver and, like, jewels. It was Will the English who, like, said..."
"Ividy," I said. "Ividy horror show."
I knew where he meant. Old town, just beyond Victoria Flat Block. Well, the real horror show leader knows always when, like, to give and show generous to his, like, unders.
"Very good, Georgie," I said. "A good thought and one to be followed. Let us at once itty." And as we were going out, the old babushkas said, "We'll say nothing, lads. Been here all the time you have, boys."
So I said, "Good old girls. Back to buy more in 10 minutes.
And so I led my three droogs out to my doom.
This ends Disc 2.